Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Yep, Wendy's Coffee House. If you ever get lost, just go on the web, do wendyscoffeehouse.com. I can't guarantee you'll find your way, but you'll find something. Thanks for riding along. There's some fantastic headlines, and this is kind of a harmonic convergence of Yowie, UFO, unexplained, the whole nine yards. And first, we're going to start with the climate change, though. This was one noise. And I love, this is something that finally putting some, connecting some dots. The Acoustic Ecology Lab, this is at the Arizona State University, saying, you know, the fact that people who live in cities and urban areas get a little more stressful because of the decibel increase, it increases blood pressure and heart rate, and that's a stressor. They also are attributing that to potential changes in animals, all across the board, animals and plants. And finally, that is a really, I think they're onto something with that might make a difference in the way we plan our landscapes in the city. The one little sad note on that climate change thing is we lost George the snail. George was in the lab because he was the only one of his kind, and they kept hoping that they could introduce George to a friend. Like, remember George the tortoise? Well, George checked out. He was 14. Can you imagine 14 years spending time with a little guy like that? You do get attached. I can tell you I had a turtle, Stan the Turtle Man. And when he left, he ran away. It was, okay, we won't go into that. But you do get attached to these little beings that you're caring for. And that's just another indicator that climate change has an impact. And he was one of the latest to move on. Rotating holes, black holes in space, they think right now, I think this is MIT, that they could be portals for hyperspace travel. So all the sci-fi guys who've been saying, yeah, and Stephen Hawking who said no, and then said, well, yeah, yeah, again, that might be it. So that brings us to Project Blue Book, now on the History Channel, finally. And the deal with this is, so whether you're on the fence or not, anybody who's seen one is totally off the fence, but if you're still kind of iffy on this, check out these stories, because the great thing about this is that it's real cases, real mysteries, real witnesses, real questions, and it's ongoing. All right? So they're going through the files of J. Allen Hynek and trying to figure out what happened. At first, he was brought in as a debunker. All right? That was the whole thing. I'm just glossing over this. You can get details through any Google search. But he was brought in to, you know, come on, let's get this out of the way. But his son says, according to one of the reporters in Chicago, that you know, as time went on, his ideas, he changed because there were too many cases, too many unanswered questions. And so a lot of the hundreds of sightings investigated by Project Blue Book, they could not explain anything about them. So that's a really cool, if you are interested, cool thing to check out. And we talked with Margie Kay about the Kansas City sightings. Kansas City's had a lot. It doesn't make the mainstream news. It's too complex. And then there might be a debunker on the other end saying this couldn't be possible. And if it is, we have nowhere to go to get it any kind of credibility and validated. So that's also a problem with it, reporting these kinds of things. It's you know, you have to do so much due diligence to figure out, was it a setup? Is it a hoax? Is somebody trying to, you know, pull the wool over somebody else's eyes? And that, you don't always get easy answers or quick answers to that, especially when you're working with a news department with like two people. Okay. Bottom line, you need a lot of people, a lot of boots on the ground for that. Okay, a cool Christmas gift if you'd like to try this out. Robert 2.0, the chatbot, world's first robot ufologist. This is one of the UFO people I follow on the web. So you can check it out. I tried, and I think the first three questions kind of threw Robert for a loop. What time of day did you see your UFO? Daytime. Okay. And it had lights. Restate your question and restate the answer. Lights. Was it small or large? It was small. And then it said, restate your answer, small. And it said, it must be a planet. I was disappointed. But you can try your own. Try your luck with Robert 2.0. I'll put the links on the website. Anyway, Robert, hey, look, he's got to learn. And so I was figuring I'm the learning curve. And it was lights. It was indoors, which threw the whole thing off. And the colors are red and green. Now, there's a reason for that, but that's another story another time. Synchronicity. Yowie. Great story. I'll just point you to this one. This is on the Fortean website. A lot of good stuff there. Also, as you can tell by the title, one of the ones I follow, too. And it says, posted by Cropster. Okay, this is a really interesting story, and they have details in the prints. The prints are unlike anything you've seen, so they were wondering if it was a hoax, but it's a great story, great content, great background. Synchronicity is I had put on my website, I was going to put a little blurb for a Bigfoot ad, the Bigfoot lunchbox. I thought, no. So I put it in my, it's been in my photo library, thinking, well, maybe I'll put it on a different time, because I've gone down to the camp there at Arkansas, Mena, Arkansas, and checked out really the Bigfoot evidence. And impossible to deny when you see this log up in a tree and it happened overnight and there's nobody, there's no crane, no heavy lifting equipment. Like, okay, curious. Anyway, so now I have my Bigfoot exactly like I put in my photo archive. Lunchbox. It came with my sandwich yesterday. Thank you, Andy. He had no clue. I didn't tell anybody. It's just there. That's synchronicity. All right. It's also called manifesting. But or just convenience and a partner who has a clue what you're interested in. Now, the other big synchronicity. I had booked this guest, two of them, actually. Benjamin Krim. You may remember him. Very active. And I remember, you know, 80s, 90s, more hearing more about him and what he was doing. If you haven't, we'll get into this. But when I booked them, I was kind of doing a search, and I came up. I was checking the links on my log my blog to see if everything was up to date. And I went over to Ami, and Ami is the story, "Child of the Stars," written in 1986, published in English 1989. And I had seen it on the internet before it was ever published, and thought, "Wow, this is so cool! This is really neat." And it's about a little boy who connects with a space person. Well, the story written about it, and this was in 2012. Om Times Magazine, by Gerard Artson. Now, I've also followed Gerard, not knowing the connection to Ami, not knowing the connection. He has archives of all these stories from past to present of, let's see, what is it? I put that webpage down, and I'll have to give you the link. Anyway, this is a really neat archive, and you can check it out. And the story Ami, at the bottom, when they published this article, Gerard says, "And I have been doing work..." And how does he put it here? "Longtime association with Share International." Benjamin Krim. Whoa! Synchronicity. I thought that was fantastic. So my guests, two of them, the son and Felicity. Felicity, you're the chief editor of Share International magazine, before I mess this up. And Julian is the son, eldest son of Benjamin Krim. And guys, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us on the show.
Okay, well, I was trying not to throw you off with all the headlines, but when I saw that story by Gerard Artson, I thought, oh my gosh, here it is. There's Share International. It comes right up, so it's perfect timing for today. And what we want to do in the next break, I would like you guys to fill us in on Benjamin Krim, your father, and how this got started. The only thing I remember was him talking about the UFOs and the four ships around the planet. And then I was on to other things. It's been, you know, 20 years or so, and I didn't have a chance to really research. But that, I thought, was, you know, it was mind-boggling at the time. And now it's more relevant because of the things that are happening. So if I can give you the setup for that. Who would like to start first when we come out of the break? Who's more logical to start?
Either of us, but I'll start.
Well, I didn't want to come out and go, okay,
yeah.
Draw straws. All right, so we're going to take a break and come back, and we'll be talking with my guests. And Benjamin Krim, this is Scottish artist, author, esotericist, editor of Share International magazine, talking about the world leader, Maitreya. And Maitreya, I think. I have to pronounce it correctly. They'll fix it in the next break. And we'll find out more about what this is about and why this might be relevant at this time to revisit this topic. Fascinating information. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, it's Wendy's Coffee House. You can check out the links on the blog, wendyscoffeehouse.com blogspot. Anything I talk about here usually is somewhere on the blog. My guest today, two, it's a tag team, are going to talk about Share International and the purpose of the group, the organization, originated by Benjamin Krim, and he was the founder of Share International magazine. You can find that on the web. But what I wanted to do is kind of go back and remember and set this up with who was Benjamin and what is this about. And Julian, the son, is here to fill us in. Hey, Julian, it's all yours.
Yeah, thank you. Benjamin started a group in London in 1974. I was there. It was a small group of about 14, 15 people. At first, we had no name. That was a deliberate and conscious decision because we were presenting certain information about the return to the world of the World Teacher. I'll come to that in a moment, mm-hmm. Explain who the World Teacher is. You said in the introduction a few minutes ago you referred to Maitreya as the world leader. I'd like to correct that. He's not a leader. He's actually prefers to be called just the teacher,
mm-hmm.
and he's here to teach and guide us, not to do things for us. When I say us, I mean humanity, but to guide us. And he's not alone. He comes with a group of men called the Masters. We'll come to those in a moment. Benjamin had contact with one of the Masters, and this gave him access to certain information about the return and later presence in the world of Maitreya. And our job was to present this information to anyone who would listen.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off with no name because not because we were secret or anything, but because we didn't want to erect any barriers between our information and the public. If you have a name, an organization, you tend to be labeled. And gradually, as Benjamin became better known and his information became better known, news of it spread, first in the UK and then outside the UK. The first country outside the UK was this one, the Netherlands, where we are now. And then other countries in Europe, and then the States, and eventually Far East, Japan, Australia, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
After about 6 or 7 years working like this, the idea arose to produce a monthly magazine. And we needed a name for the magazine, so we called it Share International. I should point out that it's nothing to do with the stock markets, stocks and shares.
Yeah.
Share International is to do with the need to implement the principle of sharing in economic affairs worldwide. That is a more just distribution of the world's resources, the food, the raw materials, etc., among all people according to need. So the magazine is a monthly magazine, it's still going. Felicity is now the chief editor of it. She edited it together with Benjamin for a number of years. And eventually the name Share International has sort of stuck. So we're now known worldwide as Share International. It sounds like a sort of big international organization, but it's not really that at all. It's just a loose association of groups around the world who have come into contact with this information and have volunteered to spread it further, to inform people. And they're all volunteers. throughout the world, many groups in the States and Canada, and all over Europe and elsewhere, as I mentioned. So that's a bit about Xi'an International. Now, who is Maitreya? Now, in order to explain that, we have to talk about the masters. In order to explain who the masters are, I'd like to very briefly talk about the constitution of man. When I say man, I mean man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
What makes up the human being? Most of us often think that the person we see in the mirror or the man or woman standing in front of us is the whole thing. What you get is what you see. But in fact, the personality, mental, emotional, and physical person is really only a vehicle for a higher aspect, which we could call the soul, or the higher self, or the true self.
Mm-hmm.
And the personality obviously dies at the end of an incarnation, but the soul reincarnates again and again and again, gradually perfecting its vehicle. And then the soul itself is a vehicle for a yet higher aspect, which you could call the spirit, or sometimes known as the monad. And just as the soul eventually becomes one with the personality, there's a further integration between the now soul-infused personality and the spirit. And at that point, one becomes a master. And all of us, every human being, every man, woman, is on this journey, is engaged in this long process of life after life after life, of a road to perfection. And the masters are, from our point of view, perfected. They have mastered themselves, overcome all the obstacles that life presents.
Julian, can I ask, would this be the equivalent of what some people refer to as ascension, the process of ascension?
Yes. The point of becoming master is also known as the ascension, yes.
Okay.
Now, Maitreya was one of the first of humanity to achieve, and he has been at the forefront of our evolution since then, many thousands of years ago. And he is the master of all the masters. And it is he who is coming out, together with a number of the masters, in physical presence, and now emerging gradually, not known as Maitreya, at the moment still working incognito.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps I can explain the reasons for
okay,
that.
Okay, wait, yeah, incognito. So if we would run into him, how would we know, or would we not know?
You couldn't recognize him by what he's talking about, what he's proposing. He has set out certain priorities to set the world to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And these start with that there has to be, for every human being, adequate food, adequate shelter, access to health care, and education. These are just basic essentials for a dignified life, and these should be guaranteed as a universal right. And you know, without these, you don't have justice in the world, and without justice, there will be no peace. There are other priorities. You mentioned climate change and pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And the climate, the environment, is also a major concern of Maitreya. And we have to take drastic steps to reduce our...
Okay. To change? Okay, hang on. What we're going to do, I'm going to come back, and you said that Benjamin had a contact with one of the masters to get this whole thing started. And
yes.
I want to find out more about that, because this other element that got my attention years ago was a UFO thing. The fact that there were four ships around the planet, and each one is, looks like a star, and they're up there, and people can mistake them for a star, except they're so colorful, it makes you question what you're seeing. Okay, so we, could we bring that back into the equation when we come back?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, okay. And Felicity, hang on. She's being very quiet. All right, we're going to continue more about this, the Share International, and what the message is, and the purpose, and the timing, because that's also a factor. All these things happening. Will the stock market crash? There's some predictions here. We're going to find out if that holds true. Up next, Wendy's Coffee House on KCMO Talk Radio. Back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. If you miss anything, I will list on the blog links to all this information, because there's a lot to get into. We don't have time to get into all the deep details. My guest, Felicity Elliott, she's the chief editor of Share International. We'll check in with her during this segment. And Julian Krem, he's the eldest son of Benjamin Krem. And Benjamin's the one who started this whole thing. It wasn't called Share at the beginning. Back in 1974, had contact or an interaction or some kind of incentive, inspiration that brought this whole thing into being, and obviously still going on. But the thing I was so fascinated by when I heard it years ago was that there were supposed to be four stars around the planet. Okay, from point A to point B, that means like ET. Okay, that's not us. So that's why I wanted this time, I would like Julian to kind of address that part of this when Benjamin had contact with one of the masters. Were the stars involved, or how does that come into play?
Wendy, shall I take it?
Yes, go ahead.
You mentioned so many interesting things at the beginning of your show, and you talked about, for example, climate change and Planet Blue Book and UFOs and so on, and you mentioned dark matter and black holes and so on.
Yes.
So all of this actually ties together, and you were talking about synchronicity, and now your question is about the four stars, which caught your attention some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin was always in contact with his master. He'd been actually in contact with his master for many, many years before he actually started a more public part of his work. And his master trained him for many years so that he was actually in a 24-hour, non-stop telepathic contact with his master for all the years that he worked for this work, talking mm-hmm. about the return of the masters and Maitreya. And one of the aspects of his work, and something he did actually before he started working more focused, with more focus to do with the return of Maitreya, the world teacher, was to also work with the Space Brothers. And Benjamin Krem does detail this in some of his books. A very interesting book that people might like to look at is the title is The Gathering of the Forces of Light, and that refers to the work of what we call the Space Brothers. We tend to avoid the word alien because we don't see anything in our universe as alien to us,
mm-hmm.
simply other beings on other planets, other people on other planets. And the Space Brothers are working in collaboration with the Masters, and have created or allowed the possibility of these four giant spacecraft to come into our orbit around our planet to be seen, and to draw attention to the presence of Maitreya and the fact that he was about, in 2010, Maitreya was about to start going more public than he had before. And so, in collaboration with the Space Brothers, Maitreya, the Space Brothers, had four large ships, as I said, large spaceships, basically sort of in four quarters, as it were, so that people would notice that there was something going on. Personally, I never found that it actually sort of amounted to as much as we would have liked, but it was to draw attention.
Yeah.
The fact of Maitreya being in the world. You know, we've just had, we call it the Three Kings Festival, 12 days after Christmas. It was a time, also known as Epiphany,
mm-hmm.
when the three wise men were led by a UFO. in the Bible, it's called a star.
Yes.
But a star which could move across and guide the three wise men must have been a UFO at the time, and that is our information. So at the time of the birth of Jesus, you had the star guiding the three wise men. Now you have these four very large spaceships drawing attention to Maitreya's appearance in the world. Now, what did I want to say? Yes, about the UFOs. Of course, people know about the crop circles,
mm-hmm.
and people are beginning to investigate those far more. And you can tell, of course, whether they're hoaxes or not. And this has been well documented by a lot of people who are experts in this investigation
yes.
now. And yeah. you can find out by, for example, people visit the circles, the crop circles, and can experience the energies. And one way you can tell whether they're hoaxes or not is that the whichever crop it is, let's say corn or wheat or something like that, the plant tends to be, the stems tend to be bent over but not broken.
Mm-hmm.
If they're hoaxes, they tend to be sort of
demolished
or broken or
yes.
crushed by
yeah.
the people doing them. But so this is one aspect of the work, the idea of the Space Brothers. And why they're here, apart from drawing attention to Maitreya, is also to help with pollution. Now, you mentioned pollution and climate change and
yeah.
the stress that it's caused. Not only noise pollution, you mentioned that too, but also the what has happened through the use of nuclear plants, developing energy, our electricity, etc., based on and particularly fission, has resulted in a lot of, and unfortunately our instruments are not able to pick it up, it's resulted in a lot of actually radiation pollution in the atmosphere, which
mm-hmm.
we're not aware of, but it does cause stress and it does break down the immune system. Now, this is why one tends to find, if you see a lot of photographs of UFOs, they're often above a volcano which is about to erupt,
yes.
or above nuclear sites, installations, and so on. They're not there to stop anything happening, but they are there to check up beforehand to see whether, for example, something is going to be particularly dangerous, because they work with the masters and can, to some extent, and that has to be within the law of karma, they can, to some extent, mitigate the effects of the radiation and so on. But
wow.
they're here to mop up the radiation which you find. And, for example, around the time of Fukushima in Japan, with the disaster there at
yes.
the plant, UFOs were seen above the installation there in Fukushima. And it was to try to mop up as much as possible the greatest excess
wow.
of radiation pollution. That's one of the things that is unfortunately affecting people's immune systems. So you see a lot of diseases more prevalent now than they were in the past.
Because of the fallout.
Yeah, from that.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately our current technology isn't quite powerful enough, or sensitive enough, rather, to pick this all up.
Okay.
So that's one issue to do with the emergence of Maitreya. And you mentioned, too, Ami, or Amy,
I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful book, too, that people might want to look at, because it offers a view, just as Benjamin Krem and his master also do, and so does Share International, it offers a view of life which basically is posited on the idea that we are all one, that we're literally brothers and sisters, or one being, a united being, and we share so much and we impact each other so much, so that we need to begin to think about a completely different way of being with ourselves, within ourselves individually, and with each other.
Kind of making us all play on the same side.
Precisely.
We're all playing on the same team. Yes. Okay. We're going to have to take a break.
Yeah.
Okay. And okay, Felicity Elliott, she's the editor, chief editor of Share International Magazine. Check out Share International. It's share-international.org. You can find out more information. I want to come back in this next break and find out, because Maitreya has supposedly been visible and actually given a series of interviews in the U.S., Mexico, Brazil, Russia, China, Japan. Okay, a series of interviews. This is an actual person talking. Is that right, Julian?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. So we want to find out more about the person. And do we have a timeline for all of this switchover and change? I'm guessing it's going to be maybe a century. We're slow learners. Anyway, okay, hang on. We're going to come back and we're going to find out more about if there was a potential up close and personal engagement, audio or visual, with the world teacher in Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. We talked about Ami, Child of the Stars. I've got a link on Wendy's Coffee House. This was written by a guy who actually had a UFO encounter in 1985, Chilean author Enrique Barrios. Okay, so I just want to say that he had a UFO encounter. That's what brought this about. He doesn't talk about it, doesn't give you details, but that's what that's about. And so we're getting back into Maitreya is here somewhere. He's a person. And so are we going to have a chance to meet this guy or see him in some more visible fashion?
Yes, eventually, yes, certainly. There is a reason why he is still working incognito. That is because the important thing is that we, humanity, responds to what he is advocating. We have to want for the world the changes that he is advocating. Justice, peace, sharing of the world's resources. Because it's simple justice, and we have to meet the needs of all humanity. And he will be advocating changes along these lines. And it's important that everyone, every individual, has the opportunity to respond to these ideas, these proposals, because that is what they want for the world, rather than respond to him simply because they think he may be the world teacher.
Yeah.
And that is one reason why we can't point him out, even if we think we know where he is, where he's appearing, who what name he's using. We can't point him out. For one thing, we've been talking for over 40 years about the return of the world teacher. If we suddenly produce someone, it will be very suspect, particularly in the eyes of the media. You've just been preparing the world for your own guru, people will say.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't point him out.
Okay, as I understand that, it means your own consciousness, your own energy, your instinct, your insight, your telepathy will put you in proximity to this person, and then you'll have to figure out, is this who I am, you know,
yes,
I'm hearing
from.
He's
gradually emerging now, talking about these things that I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And when he talks, of course, he also sends out his energy, the energy of the Christ, the energy of love, and people will respond to that as well.
That would feel good.
Yeah. And eventually he will be invited to speak to the whole world. When enough people are responding to his message, his ideas, he will be invited to speak to the whole world, and then we will know who he is. And he will declare himself and present a number of the masters at the same time.
Okay, now, have you guys both had contact? Have you had proximity with this person?
In a certain way. Over the years, Maitreya himself and a number of the masters have contacted individuals, not only in our groups, but many others around the world, in one guise or another.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes as a an ordinary person, can be a man or a woman, or can be a beggar, can be some ordinary but at the same time extraordinary person, some encounter. And we've received hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters over the years, which we've published in the magazine. from people describing such encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going on now. We still have these encounters.
Well, and the stars that you published on your website, these pictures are beautiful, just multicolored stars that are seen, and that there was one October 2016 I'm looking at.
Yes, they're very frequent, actually. In fact, I was looking at headlines just the other day, I think yesterday. I think a number of UFOs have been spotted again over the States, just off the West Coast, over a number of places in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And people are becoming more and more aware of them. I'd like to say that one of the most definite sightings of Machair was way back in Nairobi, and he was actually on CNN and seen and photographed, and a report appeared about him in the Kenya Times, and
1988.
It was 1988, yes. And he appeared in the sort of form and wearing the sort of clothes that people would recognize. Now, the people there were gathered at a Christian prayer meeting, and there was a woman who's a healer, well-known healer, just outside Nairobi, and she held, I think still does, regular prayer meetings and healing sessions. And he suddenly appeared out of the blue there. A lot of healings took place, and people recognized him as who they thought he was, and they thought he was Jesus returned, and they sort of welcomed him as Jesus. Now, I have to say that although this is not a religion, there are people throughout the world who have the notion of the cyclic revelation, cyclic return of a teacher. So, you know, you have the Buddhists thinking that the fifth Buddha will come, or the Muslims thinking that the 12th Imam is soon to be here,
mm-hmm.
as the Jews await the Messiah and a new Krishna and so on and so on. So these are all names for the one teacher. But the one in Nairobi was one of the first ones that we saw, and it was documented, was on CNN, and he was recognized there by the people as whom they thought he was, which was they thought he was Jesus.
Did you have a copy of that on your website at all?
Yes, we do. So if you go to the website and look for Maitreya in Nairobi, now, he doesn't look like that now. I mean, when he appears before the world, and we hope that will be very soon, he will not look like that. But he was then in a guise, we call it, looking like he would expect people to recognize him in that particular place. But he's appeared as a Japanese monk in Japan and so on and so on.
Oh, so he's a chameleon.
For the moment, but he within himself has characteristics which will appeal to all humanity, because this isn't a religion. It's really for all people, and we simply put it out there to give people hope, because we see that everyone, as you were talking about earlier on, people are feeling the stress, and people are beginning to look for meaning in a completely different way. And people know that they're more than just, as Julian was saying earlier on, we're more than just the person we see in the mirror.
We got to get out of here.
Nation, and we're on, you know, we're in the life school to learn and to develop, and so we put this information out simply, you know, to give people hope and to recognize him by his energy, how it affects you, your heart, how you find yourself longing for the best for the world, and judge him by his things, you know.
I think those are great, great messages, and it's a fascinating topic subject. If you're listening, my guest, Felicity Elliott, she's the chief editor of Share International magazine, Julian Krim, the eldest son of Benjamin Krim. And this is a fascinating topic, and the times are changing. And obviously, we didn't have time to get into a whole lot of this, but you can check out the website, share-international.org. Hey, guys, I really appreciate your time, and I wish we had more time, but we may just come back and revisit this a little bit later, since you say he's on his way.
There's so much to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you're listening, you can check out the links on the blog, Wendy's Coffee House. I'm going to go have a cup of tea and get a new sandwich for my Bigfoot lunchbox, do some reading, catch up on my technology. See ya.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.